Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, in case somebody come in, like we saw, guy came in with the
think that was a Tech 9 he had. And, yeah, you need a back room so you can get out quickly. But you also need the type of staff, and I've seen this over and over, that is not too street friendly, not too hustler friendly, have left dope dealing alone, and have pretty much, and I just encountered this week, pretty much taking responsibility for their own self-medication and what we call your high. You remember we had that conversation when I was in doctoral studies about individuals have to get to the point where this inebriation, this buzz, becomes something they are responsible for, as opposed to treating it like the opioid epidemic and the heroin epidemic, which is the same, at least on the opioid side, the same issue that killed Prince, Michael Jackson, and mixing inappropriately killed China the wrestler.
Yeah, it's a bad world. Again, like we talked about last time, it was about the NFL and the use of the NFL. You've got a great drug to help these guys to cope with their pain and not putting them on these well opioids and other synthetic nonsense and getting these guys stuck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you can do it a natural way or you can do it a chemical way. Chemical way, you know, they got money in that. Natural way, it means a lot of the money.
Now,
you know what I'm saying? Because I can grow my own medicine right here on my patio, and they don't have no charge over that.
Now, last week we talked about the 5 to 6 individuals who were found unconscious down there in Skid Row after taking synthetic herb spike, synthetic marijuana. I think 4 or 5 of them actually died. They didn't come back, bro. So what?
Yeah, I don't know as well, but like it was like 4 or 5 that died. Well, the last time I heard it was 4, and one was like really, really seriously critical. So I don't know if that person passed or not. And I know that the couple firemen that were involved got really, really sick as well.
Yeah. And this is one of the points that I'm trying to make. Medical marijuana was set up with the intent to provide medical service, not free hookup for a joint to get high. Okay? It was designed for medical service because there are actual and documented uses for medical marijuana. Years ago, everybody knew it would help glaucoma, but there are additional issues now. I have chronic back pain. Folks have cancer. You have phantom pain because of your situation, right? And you have to, and we've gone through this process now for decades of discerning what it is that we're doing to ourselves by engaging in medical marijuana. To the extent that you are my care provider, whether you knew it or not, GRX, I am your care provider. And let me explain that, okay? Because this is the difference between just doping yourself up to get numb, even on prescription medication, as opposed to medical marijuana. Because the primary caregivers under Health and Safety Code 11362.7, Medical Marijuana SB 420, California Senate law, a primary caregiver is an individual who's designated by the patient to consistently assume responsibility for a patient's housing, health, and safety. At a minimum, a primary caregiver must provide that he or she consistently provides care for the patient, provides care that does not have anything to do with medical marijuana, and provide care at or before the time the primary caregiver assumed responsibility to assisting with the patient's medical marijuana need. For more information, you can refer to People versus Mintec, 2008 case, 42 California, 4th District, number 274. So, this is important because He goes on to state, there is no requirement stating that a primary caregiver must be designated in writing, GRX. We don't have to write nothing down or go submit something with the city or the state. Senate Bill 420 includes provisions for every county health department to issue an ID for primary caregivers. That's the program I got you into. Okay?
Exactly.
It goes on to say, as a note, the primary caregiver is an individual rather than an organization. An individual or agency can be deemed a caregiver when a patient receives either medical care, supportive services, or both from a clinic, a healthcare facility, a hospice, or a home health agency. The primary caregiver can care for more than one person. SB 420, specifically with medical marijuana, prohibits caregivers from having more than one patient residing outside the county of the caregiver. So as long as it's in Los Angeles County, you're good. Okay?
Yeah, as long as you're, and then that's the other important thing. A lot of times what happens is we have followed the laws. The laws are in place and the laws are there. We just need to know the laws. I can guarantee you that more than half the people that smoke not know the 420 laws.
Oh, of course they don't. Let me finish this point. This may be an unconstitutional restriction, talking about primary caregivers having more than one patient. It may be a constitutional restriction and is subject to challenge. He goes on to say there is not one case that states that a patient must be unable to grow his or her own marijuana as a condition for having a caregiver. Designated primary caregivers are eligible for, health department ID card. Now, when I went and registered with the county, she asked me if I was a caregiver. I don't think she was asking me who was I was giving care to, but because I didn't have that prior conversation with you, I didn't check that box. But the way this is reading is that it didn't matter in the first place. Now, he goes on to say something else, because you talked about are medical marijuana dispensaries and operations for profit? Technically, they're not. They are not. Now, reasonable compensation is allowed. Here comes the conundrum. The designated primary caregiver can receive any compensation for expenses. This includes reasonable compensation for any services provided for the care of the patient and out-of-pocket expenses. Note that the term profit is not defined by the law and is up to the discretion of the jury. Please refer to, again, People versus Mintec, 2008, California 4th District 274, and People versus Winda, 2008, 165 California, 4th Appellate Court, 634 is the number of the case. Okay, so what this is basically setting up is for people to get involved in each other at a level in which you actually know what's going on with your patient that you're supposed to be giving care to. And when done right, it's a whole lot better. I'm going to give you an example. As, for instance, this passing out hypodermic needles to people with serious opioid or heroin issues.
That makes sense. I mean, again, I think the law was well thought out. They executed it well on the front side. Now we just need to get better on the back end of the law to make sure that it's consistent and that it doesn't cross the line of being federal.
Yeah, I see.
The problem that we run into is when it crosses the line. Again, if you read what the laws are and then read what the federal laws are, you can stay way in place in the boundaries. That's why California laws read the way that they read, on how many plants you can have and the quantity of plants you can have, the area which you can have your plants in. It's all listed there. So when you stay inside the laws, so like this, the feds aren't going to come and knock on your door when you got sick flat. It's a moot case for them. It's not a case for them. It's only a case with over 100 plants.
You just said it. And let me just turn to that section, because he gets into the six verses in Oakland. I left with the ability to have 99 plants, 44 buddies. And he gets into that. Hold on one second. And he says exactly what you say. The 6 to 99 is the test. And mostly what you see, there's a recent bust this weekend, right? Mostly what you see is folks well over 99. See, this guy had 400 plants.
Over 99.
Yeah. join this collective or had your evaluation, paid your money, you can't get records. So if you do get caught up, you are caught up. Because the doctor...
Yeah, the doctor, or the medical doctor, has signed that paper previously to the... here's my personal experience. I needed to get a script. My own script had expired, and I was able to get a script real quick. I found a spot for 45 hours, right? I walked in, made an appointment, walked in, talked through attendant at the window. I said, we're here for my appointment. She walked me to the back, sat down, and checked some stuff off of the paper. The paper was already signed by the doctor. The doctor did never even see me. The doctor wasn't even there. So he already signed. I asked her, I said, so how many of the days did you send out? She goes, I got the signs 10 a day. And I said, he didn't see me, though. She goes, the brother lied, the signature's on the paper, and I'm not that's what your ailments were.
Yeah. Essentially, at first, you could be seen by a nurse, a nurse practitioner, or just somebody acting as one.
Yeah, and see, and so there's a setup there. So if you can't have them access your records, when you access your own records, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you need to be able to access your records, so you need to set it up properly in the first place. Now,
if you're out there having your own personal collection, and you got other people in your collection, you have to, and you have the responsibility of checking to make sure that their scripts are on point. Because if they're not, and you're absorbing them in a collective, you, the collective owner, which is everybody, can get in trouble.
You are right.
So it's always important that if you can have a plan that you're going for, that his script is in place.
Now, here it is. Okay, he got the section on patient collectives and cooperatives. Okay, and this is under Senate Bill 420, which has been the change since 215. SB 420 does not define collectives and cooperatives. Collectives and cooperatives that abide by local laws and guidelines exist throughout the state and can legally grow and provide marijuana to its members. Any individual responsible for assisting others in administrating marijuana to patients and educating them about cultivation is also protected, referred to the Health and Safety Code. Since medical marijuana is not recognized as a defense, federal laws do not protect patients or members of collectives and cooperatives from prosecution. Recently, feds have prosecuted cases involving very large operations. DEA under Obama said this. They said it consistently. We are looking at those who are so large that they are on the potential fence for abusing and drug traffic. So the common sense area, if you can't get it done between 6 and 99 plants, you probably don't need to be in this game.
Right. I'm going to tell you right now, I have a script that allows me to have 30. And in 30 plants, I'm producing, more weed than I really can smoke myself.
Yeah, you and I have the same issue. We end up having to give it away. Okay, because it's too much, and I don't mind giving it away because other folks have issues and might be way more important to me.
Right, and again, as I always laugh about it and joke about it, my weed dog likes me to give mine away. The more I give away, the more I grow.
Yeah, I agree with that. T-Rex, let's take a quick break and then get right back into this in our last 5 minutes.
All right.
All right, let me read it once again. Recently, feds have prosecuted cases involving very large operations tax evasion allegations, operations located 1,000 feet from schools, organized crime groups, so if you're in the gang on the set, in the MS or in the mafia, you probably don't need to be in this gang, and for profit organizations. So if you have a company in which it's your intent to make a profit, you probably don't need to be in the medical marijuana gang. In fact, he has a detail on page 13, a detailed list of federal marijuana guidelines and sentences. In fact, he goes each state, state by state, and gives you a guide. I looked at Alabama, where my brother recently was released for marijuana possession with the intent to sell. But they got him mostly on possession. And then after he did all that time, ended up hitting the joint again and got arrested again because he didn't get through probation. Alabama is like about a handful of states that have mandatory federal sentencing laws when it comes to marijuana. So any violation, you will go to jail in a state like Alabama. They don't have a choice. It's a mandatory issue. Okay? The judge does not make judgment calls.
Well, again, you got to know your laws and make you live that. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not conducive the way you're living it, just don't do it.
Yeah, other thing is a lot of folks think that just because they live in Utah or Oregon where laws may be more lax or less restrictive, that the same applies in California or Utah. It does not. It does not. In fact, your medical marijuana card stops as soon as your plane or your train or your car or your boat crosses the state line, okay? Now you're under federal jurisdiction and federal drug trafficking if you're not careful.
Exactly. Even if you correct, got Arizona on one side, and then we got Oregon and Washington on the other side, and all these states have legal marijuana and medical marijuana. But the problem is, if I'm from California, I cross over into Arizona, and I don't have an Arizona ID.
You're going to jail. You're going to jail. I already know that. And ain't nobody going to even. They ain't going to even. Well, that's the whole point of getting some of this information out. Now, we've run almost out of time. And I could still go another five more shows on this. And maybe that's what we just got to do, huh? Just try to.
I think that's something we got to do. We got to start educating about. About what's going on, and so that they don't feel like or get out there and get caught up. It's just you could walk the streets in LA with 2 ounces, okay? Well, don't carry 2.002 on there. Don't do it. Why do we gotta carry around 2 ounces?
Right, it's just like I told you. I see so many people in the medical marijuana community now, and they just got to smoke their weed in the car at the bus stop while the police is following them or whoever, they don't know. But it just got to put so much extra on it to the extent that, you know, the individual has created a problem with the luxury and benefit and success of medical marijuana in many cases. I was at the dispensary yesterday, and it was obvious that one of the patients was having some other issue. And so I just didn't pay no attention because I like to get in and get out. I don't like to even talk to nobody but the barristers working there or the caregivers. And one of them said to me, she's on something. And I could tell that the lady was on something more than she was on something, okay? And you don't want to come into a medical marijuana own anything. In many cases, they have already hired a federal agent, or the federal agent works and owns the collective. I mean, I've seen this. We had the sheriff's chaplain here on the property where he had several medical marijuana shops. Now, he lost his chaplain position, but he didn't shut down his medical marijuana shop. So at the end of the day, you need to be common sense driven. And we are out of time, GRX. We'll pick this stuff up, maybe with some special editions, and try to lace this through, because as our election season comes up, this is probably going to be the second biggest thing in our political history this year, other than the presidential election. All right, what do you think on your way out?
I think that's you hit the nail on the head with that one. It's coming to an end where this is federally is going to happen. The laws of federally are going to have to change because people's views are changing around legal marijuana. It's the ideas are changing. So we're moving into a different realm, people.
Okay.
Be careful.
Okay, GRX said it best. Be careful. We are out. I'll holler at you tomorrow, bro.
Before she got a ride, a bucket